What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to a new episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And today we have absolutely one of my favorite people on the podcast, a good friend of all of ours, genuinely like a brother to me. He has a brand new 1 hour special out on Amazon called Overwhelmed. It's absolutely hilarious. He filmed it safely during the pandemic and it's so good. So without further ado, let's get into the episode with our good friend, Dustin Nickerson. Please welcome to the show, Dustin Nickerson.
Yay! Pew, 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 pew.
Thank you. That's like the first time ever, Taylor, that you've brought me on.
That's true.
I like the way that... Go ahead.
I wasn't clean enough to open for you at your special.
No, you did not produce my special. and the man who produced my special also got to do the opening 10. But thank you for having me. This is nice. It is nice to, it's, you know, you see nobody. This is like a green room now. This is like, oh, remember friendships?
Yeah. It does feel good. Very weird.
Yeah. Says the man with a full-blown family at home. I don't see anyone.
Yeah. No, I see them and you're like, great. New? I would love new. I had this thought right before we got on here. So many bored men have grown facial hair. My facial hair looks objectively bad. It doesn't look good. But my wife, Melissa, said she likes it. And it's making me think that she's so like just tired of being locked in with me. And she's just trying to make me look like a different person. It's as if it like as if I just put on a costume. We're role playing with facial features. So this is what it's come to.
Whatever gets people by these days.
Huh? Yeah. No judgment. What do you need? You need me to, do you need me to have a mullet? What do you need to make this work? Mullets are kind of back right now. So
they are. Thank you, Miley.
Yeah.
For real.
Miley and Theo. I don't know who the other one is, but
Miley and Theo Vaughn.
Miley and Theo sounds like a Disney show.
It really does.
Yeah, and it could be kids or animals. I don't know if Miley and Theo is a dog cat thing. It might be a dog cat cartoon. I'm not sure.
Honestly, I would tune into a Miley Cyrus Theo Vaughn show in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What a combination of personalities. I just think that would be, that's kind of what we're all missing.
Yeah, it's that mix of like very successful Southern trashy,
right,
but like pretty, has some elements of class to it. It's a, you know, Miley and Theo. I don't know how the show hasn't been made yet. I don't know.
2021.
Theo might, that might be a podcast on all things comedy that I don't know about, honestly. There's a lot of them. I mean,
truly. I did tell Dustin before we started recording, I texted him earlier and I said, you need to bring your favorite quote, and it cannot be a Bible verse. So,
yeah, Dustin.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Want to hear a Bible verse? Just out of curiosity.
Thank
Delaney?
You.
No.
Thank you for your open-heartedness, Delaney. Now, let me
close
tell you.
It up.
Yeah. No, in Matthew 5, Jesus... Do we start with a quote? Is that
start with a quote.
My favorite quote.
Dustin's never listened to the show. Dustin, you know, one of my dearest friends, practically my brother, has never heard the show because we talk too openly about sex on it.
If it makes you feel better, I am friends with you in real life. And more importantly, I'm well versed. I could do a large chunk of all three of your acts. Delaney, sure. I might remember more of your act than you remember right now. So that's
not quite right.
Let's not say that I'm not supportive. I don't want that to be portrayed.
We don't get that personal about sex in recent times, I feel like. There's some older...
Recently, we've been better.
There's some older episodes.
Well, let me ask you what your favorite episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is, Taylor.
Fair. Totally fair.
A funny podcast about family out every Tuesday by one Dustin Nickerson. Other than the ones you're... See, Delaney didn't even know that was my podcast. She didn't understand that reference. Kelsey barely got it, and she's been on it. So.
No, I knew. I was ashamed because I was thinking the only one I've listened to is like from the social media clips that you shared of me and Kane being on it. So
we had a great time.
It was,
and you've been on it twice. I came to your hotel room in Vegas.
Oh my God!
See? You guys don't even remember episodes you've been on. So now.
I do remember.
I learned what a podcast was. Once we started recording ours, then I knew what a podcast was. Yeah. I didn't listen to podcasts until probably a year into Self Helpless.
Yeah.
Delaney gets a pass. Delaney gets a pass on that
one. The podcast world used to be this like up and coming independent thing. And now you like log on and it's like, hey, did you see Michelle Obama has a podcast now?
Right.
Celebrity driven at this point. Everybody has one. So, yeah. There maybe not a direct correlation, but my favorite quote is an Oscar Wilde quote. And he says, it is absurd to divide people into good or bad. And he says, I Taylor, you've probably heard me say this, but said people are either charming or tedious.
So good.
And I think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like
that's
people,
such a good one.
Because everybody is good or bad, or they have element. There's like a couple people that are truly evil. But I very much think of people in my life as either charming or tedious. Like you're like, oh, I'm happy to see them. Or you see them and you're like, oh. it's just like, you know, just people are just like
draining.
Work. They're just draining. They're like people that feel like a task. You know?
Yeah. That's hilarious.
A task personified. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I just got to get you. You're like, I got to check you off.
Yeah. You're like scooping the cat litter of a person.
So that's my favorite quote. And all three of you are charming. So there you go.
Oh, thank you. That's very good. I mean, Dustin and I are close enough that I have certainly gone into tedious at times.
I would say you're there about maybe 12% of the time.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'll take 12.
I mean, if you consider how many hours Taylor and I are in communication, that's not bad.
Pretty good.
I think anyone that you're really close with has to be tedious. Otherwise, you're not actually close with them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They have to
really good point.
They have to show you. They have to show you the tedious side if you're really going to be friends.
Yeah. Especially during quarantine. I mean, I would assume, like you're saying, with your family. There's no shot that it's going to be 100% charming between you and your family constantly.
No, especially like the age breakdown. I mean, I have a 13-year-old boy. It's just like he goes from like this just all the time to like a full volume spaz yell. Like those are, and then he's at this like phase where he just like yells out phrases and noises and just constantly, it's just like he's like an alarm clock, just like we're like, you need an outdoor hobby, you need to learn to surf in the deep waves, you need to let go. So he took up skateboarding during quarantine and it's been like a huge like, yeah, no, just go for hours, just go. Skip school, skip Zoom school, whatever it may be. So yes, there has certainly been an element because my household is my wife, our three kids. My kids are 13, 11, and 6. And then my dad lives with us, my 70-year-old dad. So it's a full house.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you're at a point with parenting where you're just so ready for your kid to get out of the house that you don't even care that it's skateboarding, which is, you know, considered a pretty dangerous sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not for hours.
Yeah, like, do it down the middle of the road. We took away his helmet. That, honestly, make it riskier.
I don't think you can skateboard anywhere else. I think you can only skate down the middle of the road. I've only seen skateboarding in coming of age movies. So from what I've seen, it's like a skate park or the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah. I think this version of skateboarding you see is a little more solemn than what it actually is, or you know, or it has better soundtrack music.
How's that? Go ahead, Taylor.
No, we're probably going to ask the same thing.
Oh, I was just going to ask, how's parenting going in quarantine and also like being a husband? when everybody's just under the same roof all the time, how are you making time individually for everybody or what does that look like?
Right. Yeah. Well, I've spent more time with my kids over the last 9 months than ever, like as far as the season goes, because I'm not working much and they're home. And, you know, like it's everything that we're doing is kind of like, this is my work today, like setting up this ring light. This was my big objective for the day. So other than that, I think we're all going to color later. I think we've got some various crafts. Maybe if it stops raining, we'll play on the trampoline. So as far as time goes, there's a lot of it together, which is nice. But the biggest stresses are the kids aren't in school. Like that's, you know, if you're still in like the distance learning places, which a lot of the country still is, it's, you know, you just take for granted how your kids would go off for 6 to 7 hours a day. And so many of their needs are met in school. Their social needs are met in school. You know, a lot of like, that doesn't necessarily apply to us, but for a lot of individuals, like a lot of social services are applied through the school. Kids get fed in the schools. You know, a lot of like childcare is provided through schools. Like a lot of, you know, their sports are through their schools, their activities. Our kids do music and dance and stuff all through the school. And it's just like all gone. So they're lacking that. Joel, our son Joel said the other day, he goes like, Dad, I don't think I've seen a girl since like May. You know, so it's a different time that creates its unique challenge. But that also then I think puts the most stress on me and Melissa, because like, you know, I have the joke about it now, but it's like, you know, if they're in school, we have to be, you know, next to the Zoom call at 8:30 a.m. too, which it's like, oh man, I've not, the best day of my life was the day that I finished college. Like I hyped that day, like this is going to be great. And it lived up to its expectations. So, and now it's now I'm back in elementary school, no less.
Right.
Can you like play on your phone next to her?
Yeah, that's when I'm texting you. That's my tedious. That's when I'm 12% tedious to you, Yeah.
That's when Dustin finally gets back to me when I texted him the night before. Like, I'm so sad about my like lonely apartment. And he's like, it's 6 a.m. and I'm with my children.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you know the difference between short and long O sounds? That's what I'm trying to remember. Is it ooh or ooh? I don't remember. I've practiced this in a long, long time. So, yeah, you and I are operating on different hours. That's for sure. Like, you know, 1 to 2 a.m. and yet I'm up at 6 with nothing else to do. So the one thing that I'm very good at is recess. Like when recess hits, I'm like, bam, I'm like the recess lady. But it's definitely stressful. I mean, Melissa, she said her mom was here for Christmas, and yesterday they went to Balboa Park here in San Diego. Nice. And Melissa said, I was like, how was it? And she's like, I couldn't articulate it, but I just needed to go outside and look at something pretty to get ready for the next year. So there's definitely a lot of that, which I think all of us, to some extent, yourselves included, we're all feeling just like it's like we're all spiraling, but it's all spiraling a little differently, but it's all downward. Like some has more twirls and some are more of a direct shot, but it's all down. Everyone's going down. No relationship is improved in the last 9 years. It's the same.
Sometimes you flush your toilet and it's really fast, and then other times it goes kind of slow because of the water in your building or something. Yeah, that's kind of how it is.
And then maybe in the southern hemisphere it goes the other direction, but it's still going down. Regardless, we're all crap going to the sewer in this metaphor.
I know that that's not particularly uplifting, but there's something comforting about it, though, just to be like, you know what? Yeah, like there's no FOMO in that observation. It's like everybody's a piece of shit going downward. It's, you know, and Delaney, we don't want to hear that your life is great. Let me just stop you before you say it. It feels nice.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think Australia's like back to normal, which sucks. But anyway, this is getting sad.
No, I'm here for it. Yes, please.
You don't allow your kids to have social media. Let's talk about that, because the only person here who's brave enough to get off of social media is Delaney, who's been easing into that. Kelsey and I will never,
under no circumstances.
It is part of our job, and TikTok is what keeps our mental health afloat.
I was going to say, if you got a social media, I think your reps would drop you.
Without question. It wouldn't even be a discussion. The phone call would go, you know why we're doing this, right? And I'd say, have a good life. And that would be it.
That seems like a corresponding, that's cause and effect. Like Delaney's like, hey, I'm getting happier and I'm having a good year. And I'm off on social media. Those things affected one another, right? That's the bat hitting the ball.
Chicken or the egg, man.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I do not. Yeah, our kids are not on social media, which is a fad that we're hoping to continue to pioneer. The majority of their friends are. Now, it doesn't mean they're like totally devoid of it, because they have friends and they see friends and, you know, they'll look at, you know, get on social media together or whatever, which is still like, it's very different than being on there. To me, Melissa, Melissa is my wife. I'm not going to say Melissa, my wife anymore, just so we all know this. Anytime I'm referring to Melissa, that's Melissa said this the other day, where she said, like, she thinks that in like 40, 50 years, we're going to talk about kids on cell phones the way that we talk about like people smoking in the past.
Ronnie Chang has a joke about that. Is that Ronnie Chang has a joke?
Dang, Melissa's a thief. Melissa's a hack.
Your wife's a hack. Sorry to tell you.
I think it's from Ronnie Chang's special. I could be wrong, but I think it is, where he says the same thing, and he's like, I can't believe we let pregnant women do that.
It is funny. Like, it's very clearly proven to be bad for your mental health. Yeah. And for teens, it's a disaster. I mean, it's already, no matter what, those are already the worst years of your life. And now it's all the bad parts of, I was some book, I don't remember who said it, but said that it's like, you know, when you're a kid, especially when you get into like middle school, like you know, it's the constant social pressures and the, do they like me and am I performing well enough? And, you know, I said that funny thing that they laughed at, or I got teased, or this person said that. It's all of that, but all the time. So when you, we were kids, like when you didn't have social media, you would come home and your home was your little refuge, at least from that. Yeah. Your home might be a disaster in its own ways, but at least it's a refuge from that. But it's not with social media. You're constantly, you know, tuned in to, you know, how many likes did I get, or how many followers do I have, and what comment did they make, or, you know, because we do that. I'm a grown man, and I'm like, who looked at my stories today? You know, of course. Oh yeah. Man, Taylor didn't like that. Oh man, you know, it's like I'm so petty. I'm like I'm genuinely content grown man, and I'm doing that. So to put that in the hands of a 13-year-old boy or a 14-year-old right. girl, it's crazy. It's crazy. Though I will say some of them are very funny on TikTok.
So funny. So funny. Also, just to address that comment, I only crap out of your stories when there's a lot of reading. Because there's a lot of screenshotting people's opinions on like the best Christmas song. And I'm like, this is...
Yeah.
This isn't even Dustin at this point. These are just people in the, his DMs.
This is, that's, well, I think it's important that I have transparency and I can share my DMs. nothing exciting in there. People just coming in there going like, no man, Christmas Shoes is a good song. You're so, or unfollow.
Dustin,
pretty exciting.
Oh, did you sit down and tell your kids why they're not allowed to be on social media? Like, what was that conversation like? When did this happen?
It's like every 8 days we have it. it's confusing to them too,
sticks.
Right? Because I'm on social media, you know, and so they're like, but I think that kind of helps because I tell them all the time. I was like, listen, I wouldn't do this if I didn't have to. I don't enjoy this. There are moments of things that you make or you enjoy, but then you do a thing, you know, it's, I feel like this is fun because Taylor and I are just sharing conversations we've had over the years. Mm-hmm. But the phrase that I always use is it's in our world, it's a lot of like public trying, you know, like we just try these things and you're like, I had this funny idea and then it bombs and nobody sees it. Or only your most critical comedian friends see it. And you're just like, well, that got 11 views. I'm really glad that I put so much work in it. So it's just this tire exhausting thing that I think that because I can say to them, like, listen, I'm on this as a professional thing. I don't really enjoy it that much. That I think helps, but it is a total ongoing thing, you know, like particularly I think like, so they have little phones called Gab phones. This is like going to be like a plug for this company. But we love them because they can text and call and nothing else. So
the dream.
The dream.
It's like a Disney
like
phone.
Like a flip phone?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the
phones. Snake on the phone?
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, that would that would be the final. That's exactly. That's what phones were when we first got phones. And
yes, that was my happiest. I had a Nokia.
Yes.
I could text, I could call, I could play Snake. And it was just like,
the basics.
Yeah, you had to hit the numbers for the letters, but you got good at it.
Yes.
You know?
T9.
It was legal to text and drive. It was...
Those were the days.
Yeah, that's true. That is a law that came later that they're like, hey, people are dying.
Yeah, it was the Wild West out here for a while. Yeah. It was pretty lawless.
But that does help because people, like parents, make the excuse a lot. Like, I want to stay in touch with my kids. And you're like, yeah, I mean, there are ways to do that. And that's so that helps them socially in that they can, you know, at least like text their friends and stuff. But they can't text pictures, which is great. You know, also them feeling weird. I feel left out. We just talk to them all the time. Like, you'll always feel left out about something, you know, like you don't get to have everything. You'll feel like you don't have, you know, like the newest, maybe you didn't get a PS5 or an Xbox, or you didn't get new clothes or new shoes, or there's going to be the person who gets the new car first, or there will always be something. This is just your thing and you would feel weird no matter what. That's just comes with, I feel weird all the time. I feel weird.
That doesn't go away. Tell your 13-year-old son that someday he's going to be dating a girl who finds out that he doesn't have social media, and she's going to think it's the fucking coolest, hottest thing ever. Like, frame it like that, that women dig dudes that are just like, oh, shit, you don't even need the validation of strangers?
Yeah, yeah. I'm into it. And he's going to, like,
Or she'll think he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean...
Which, are those that different as far as as far as vibe goes? Yeah, exactly. As far as aura that they put out into the world, you know, you're like, oh, it's a pretty similar vibes, you know, both have beards, you know. So that's that. I don't know. That's our and we could always like, you know, we could always change our minds. But at this point, like now the 13-year-old tells the 11-year-old all the time, like, stop asking. They're going to say no. Like, because the 11-year-old has not gotten the years of no's that the 13-year-old has. Mm-hmm. So he kind of coaches her up being like, this is a lost cause. Because the official stance is they can have a smartphone when they buy themselves a smartphone. We'll never provide that for them.
Right. So when they can get a job or start.
Yeah. Which is so expensive, by the way, to get a good phone now. Like, yeah. So that's like when they're 25, I don't know. It doesn't concern me.
Yeah. What are you going to do if one of them comes home and is like, so-and-so said they'd give me their old iPhone. Has that happened yet?
No. Well, they try and get our old iPhones, you know, a lot. There are old iPhones around the house. I'm like, well, you still couldn't pay the monthly bill for it.
True.
You know, kids kids make like $100 a year.
Breaking leaves.
Holiday money.
Yeah. And we don't pay them to do chores either. So it's like $50 at your birthday, $50 for Christmas. You enjoy your 1 month of phone access. I don't think that even covers an activation fee. Do they still have activation fees? I don't know. Who starts a new phone plan?
No idea.
I don't know. I think, but maybe I'm off. I don't know. As non-parents, do you think that that's like, because sometimes people push back and they're like, that's torture what you're doing to your kids. They're going to feel left out. They're going to feel different or weird. I don't know. We don't know. There's no data long-term on whether or not we're making the right or wrong decision here.
Oh, I think you're making the right decision 100%. Also, do you ever just tell them, like, your mom and I love each other, so you don't need that? You know, like, if we were competing for your affection on alternating weekends, you'd probably have an Instagram.
Yeah,
have a very stable home base, so maybe you can go without 27 likes.
Yeah, if we were divorced, like, and I would be so petty. I would be like hitting my friends up with a bunch of followers to tag my kids' accounts. Like, not only are they on Instagram now, honey, they have a bunch of followers and they're verified. So just whatever it takes to get some favor.
Yeah. You were saying that you don't have any data. The closest I could give you from real life experience is that my first boyfriend, his parents raised him and his sister without television. They grew up without TV. And you think, like, holy shit, how did they do that? How did that even work? And he was one of the most creative people I've ever met in my entire life, like, still to this day.
Wild.
And it's hard to know, like, you know, nature versus nurture, if he was just – he was brilliant. But, like, I would have to think that growing up without TV, being forced to – like, make your own fun, go outside, do something else when most everybody else was just, like, plunked in front of the TV.
Right.
Shit. His mind, I mean, so creative. And his mom wrote a book about raising kids without TV. It's very fascinating. So that's kind of the only thing I can think of. But who knows? You might be fostering these things in your kids that would not come otherwise.
Yeah.
But your kids can watch TV, right? So your kids will just feel left out, but not be super creative and brilliant. So you are a bad parent.
That's what we've learned.
Go all the way or not at all.
Yeah. All or nothing. It's, you know, it's gotta, you can't do this half stuff. You know, it's like the lockdowns. You can't have indoor or outdoor dining. It's got to be closed altogether. Yeah. I don't know how that was a terrible comparison, but yeah, I don't know. I think that like, we always try and do like the focus on the good things you have, you know, and, I told Taylor this as well. We use the analogy all the time. We say, if you want 10 things, you know, but you get 8 things, focus on the 8 things that you get, not the 2 that you don't get. And when I told Taylor that, she interrupted the story and said, who wants 10 things? Like, who has the audacity to want 10 items, 10 different good things in your life?
I thought that was very presumptuous.
I thought she was going to ask, what are the 2 things I did not get, though?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
it's like, if you got a sweatshirt, but unconditional love is something you didn't get, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's true. The analogy breaks down when they're not all equal things. Like,
equal,
you know,
items.
Like I had a trampoline, but not a mom. And so like it's, you know, varying on the trampoline was great. It fulfilled a lot of needs, but.
Also, you got your kids. This is why parenting is so it's impossible to compare parenting because, you know, when I was growing up, I, you know, couldn't wear makeup, couldn't be on social media, but could watch TV. But my parents would have never gotten me a trampoline. They're like, that's so dangerous. We would never, like, you know, where you guys are like, no social media, you can watch TV, and here's a trampoline. Like, there, everyone
and a skateboard.
And a skateboard. Yeah. I mean,
well, we still want our kids to be cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're losing the cool points, not getting, you know, the social media follows or whatever. So you got to beef it up in other ways.
Yeah. I think if you don't have a phone, but you skateboard, that's a cool balance.
Pretty cool. You're like Timothée Chalamet from Lady Bird.
I think that's also your family didn't give you a trampoline, but you were raised in church, which is way more dangerous.
Yeah.
Way more damaging than anything. Way more. You didn't break your neck. You break your soul.
Yeah. Trampoline wouldn't have called me a whore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that trampoline wasn't a self-righteous hypocrite. No, I got my ankle twisted in the springs once, but I didn't lose my faith in the goodness of the world.
I think it's interesting to hear about, you know, raising kids with no social media, because I feel like I'm surrounded by a lot of parents who talk about they're okay with their kids having social media as long as it's like heavily monitored and all that stuff. But then it's very quickly noticeable that the parents have to do the monitoring, and they kind of fall off doing that because it feels like a chore to them. And so then the kids are very much, it's unregulated and they're on it all the time, and they go off to school. Then it's, so it is, I don't know how people find that balance with regulating their kids' social media. The only thing I can think of is like taking their phones as soon as they come home from school and stuff like that. So it's like, you have it at school, and then in the evenings you don't have it. But do you know, like, do you have any parent friends in your
I used to.
Restrict kids' social media? Is there a middle ground there?
I mean, they're probably, but I feel like what we're doing is the middle ground, which is, hey, you can text, we're not cutting you off from your friends, you know, like you can be on like, you know, we'll give you like, they're like on, you know, they all have little Nintendo Switches, but they can't do chats with strangers, you know, like we feel like we are, but you're right. Part of the motivation for not letting them do it is pure laziness on our part, because monitoring them is a ton of work. It's very challenging. Like, you have to go, it's not just like looking in their browser history, right? Like, I mean, it's going through the apps, it's setting up different monitors, like safe search stuff. It's a ton of work, and I just have no interest in doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I know some folks who do it, and maybe they're better parents for it, but you know, that's too close to call for me to make the decision that ends with me doing more work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. parenting is hard enough. Plus, whatever restriction you put on, you know who's on the cutting edge of technology all the time? Children. Children. Like they will find
TikTok.
Hence TikTok. Yeah, they will find the workaround no matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. Instagram DMs have vanish mode now.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. Oh, it's so scary. Oh, it's such bullshit.
You can delete a message?
Yeah.
That you sent.
Is that what it is, Kel? I was just gonna say
I've seen that option, but I haven't done it yet, so I don't even know what it is. God, I feel so old right now. Don't we all sound so old when we're like, what is the vanish? I don't know.
I'm like, you can already unsend a message, can't you? You can already unsend a message on Instagram, and now there's something called vanish mode. I have not used it, but it says, try vanish mode now. Have fun, casual conversations that disappear. And I'm like, Instagram, do you want us to get cheated on? Like,
wow,
what is happening right now? It's like when they used to have that following, like that feed where you could see what other people had liked.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yes. And then they got rid of it. And I was like, someone caught their husband cheating by way of that. Oh,
yeah.
God. I thought that the vanish mode was I think maybe this is more if you have a more public account and you're interacting with people you don't know, like in your DMs and stuff like that, if you don't want to continue to get notifications when those people that maybe they say like, hey, that was a funny video. And you say, oh, hey, thanks so much. But you don't want to like continue to get notifications that you could make that vanish. Does that make sense? I saw some of the YouTube beauty people talking about that. They will respond to one person once and then they'll get like flooded because that person will then keep trying to interact with them and they'll get all these messages, but they don't want to get notified. They want it to go back into the folder of like DM requests.
Oh yeah.
After they've had one interaction. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Where you can see it, but they don't know that you've seen it.
Yes.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like Taylor. It is pretty funny to think about the new rollouts on tech happen just because of one person being like, you know what we should have?
Yeah.
Yes.
Some texts, you know, some messages that disappear. That'd be helpful, right? And everyone's like, literally nobody has asked for that, but it's a good idea. I'm designing it now, actually.
Well, that's what Snapchat is, right? I mean, like Snapchat, I'm so old, I feel like, but I mean, the fact that kids are still on Snapchat, I thought like, oh, Snapchat's dead and gone because we have stories now. No, people are still, I only know this because I'm on TikTok. And like, that's how people flirt now is they get each other Snapchats and they send each other pictures back and forth that disappear. And I'm like, you can just do that over text. Okay. Yeah. Like
they Cam just disappear. Snapchat. Cam Snapchats all of his friends still. I don't know. He's got like a group of all of his buddies send weird shit to each other. I don't know. He's on the Snapchat. He's got the TikToks. He's on every. He's got YouTube. He's got all of it. all the social media stuff.
Wow.
And then he'll show me like, look who snapped this. I'm like, I thought that died years ago.
Yeah.
Like you said, I thought Snapchat kind of died with like Vine. And remember there was a pair, something with a P.
Periscope
was a thing. And then that died. I thought Snapchat was also, who knows?
No, I think like Snapchat is just like flared jeans. Like they just keep showing up every couple of years. You know? I thought we were done. I thought that was a phase. And you're like, I mean, it kind of did, but some people never stopped. And now more people are doing it again. You know?
True. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I think you and Melissa are some of the best parents I've ever seen. I don't hang out with a lot of parents, but I really do.
It's not a big study group.
Yeah, exactly. What focus group are you?
It's you guys and my parents.
Yeah. And you're stacking me up against Eric.
But I think my parents are great. I think that you guys are such good parents, and the fact that you guys don't let your kids on social media and you let them have phones, but ones without internet, it does sound very harsh to people who don't know any other good parents, I think. Like my aunt and uncle are like such good parents. They like homeschooled their kids, but they also put them in like dance and like other things. And their kids are all like brilliant and well-adjusted, and like they're all really close, and granted, there wasn't social media when they were growing up as much, but like, I don't think they would have allowed them to be on it growing up. Like, you guys are in that same weight class parenting wise for me, where I'm like, oh, you guys are like doing the unpopular hard thing, but you're really putting in the work trying to like spend time with your kids and like get to know them. Like, you don't you do fantasy football with your son?
We do fantasy football. Yeah. He does. Yeah. That's a fun thing we do together. Nice. And again, that's like a little outlet thing. You're like, hey, and it's great because, you know, we usually do well because he does all the research and I just like name the team. Yeah. So yeah, you look for those type things where I don't know, like, all I can really compare it is to, I mean, there is data on how it affects teens, which is massive anxiety, especially amongst girls, like huge amount of like spiking depression rates. And of course it is, like, it's already hard. And then you add to the, you know, just the vanity of it all of, you know, we all feel this, all of us feel this, like, you know, well, I have this amount of followers, but you have this amount of followers. And I mean, yeah, everyone that we spend time with in our world, there's this like subconscious thing where you know their metrics, you know. Yes. Yes. We don't say it, but it's there. It's right there, you know. And I think that's times 1,000 without having the biological and emotional capacity to be able to even be somewhat objective about that as a kid. So the stuff that we've read, you know, on it. And then also, like, we don't have any friend in our life that is glad they gave their kid a phone. Yeah, no one's like, true, this was a good choice by us. And so we use a little bit of that, and that, you know, but I think the reason people give kids phone comes from a good place. You want to give your kids the stuff they want. You know, like, yeah, that's the best feeling in the world of like, hey, yeah, you wanted this. My son wanted a new skateboard. We go down to the skate shop. He picks it out. It's awesome. It was really cool. By the way, total aside, I was talking to Melissa about this. Skateboard like shop employees are the best customer service people in the world because you cannot stress them out.
Because amped on stoked.
They're just like, oh, like, yeah, good choice, bro. No, that's awesome. He's like, oh man, we got a little bit of a line going. You know, like, it's like, they're just like so mellow. Like, he answered the phone. He's like, Hanger 94, what's up, bro? I was like, you don't know who's on the other end of that line. Like, this is a very enjoyable experience. And they're like being nice to my son. They're like, you'll like, you know, as you get a little bit bigger, you're going to be able to ollie more. But I was a real skinny kid too, bro. And it's like, this is a great. So that's a great feeling. You love that. But as far as the phone goes, like, there's just no real data or experience that you hear from anybody that, other than, hey, I like to stay in touch with my kids, that they're like, what a good choice. You know what, actually, the main reason that I think parents like having it, that I hear from them, is it's an easy consequence in taking it away. Yeah. Which, could you imagine, really, if, funny, as an adult, if somebody was like, Dustin, if you yell at your wife one more time, I'm taking your phone away. I would never yell at my wife.
For sure.
That's so funny. Oh, yeah, my God. That's hilarious. I mean, my dad took my books away one summer. So.
Oh my God. You never. Sweet, yeah, sweet child.
And look how creative you are now. You write now. You are. Right.
I will make my own books, father.
You are a little woman. You are.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Kelsey and I talk about social media so much because we like it a lot, I think. I don't want to speak for you, Kelsey, but I think we like it a lot, but we also hate it so much and what it does to us. I mean, I've lost full days where I'm like, what did I do today? It's like, you posted a picture you were excited to post and then just kept checking
as the
likes rolled in all day.
Yeah.
It's all you did all day.
Disgusting. And it feels so good, like,
yeah,
because I think it's that you know, it's the slot machine vibe, because not everything you post does well, and when things don't get as many likes as you want, you have to really savor the days where you get an amount of likes that feels good and validating, and you just let yourself marinate in it like a pork loin. You're just like, Yes. And then, you know, the next day you're fucking back on the living room floor in the fetal position. You know, it's a big up and down.
It's like drugs.
It's drugs.
Yeah. It's drugs. Yeah. You high, it feels good. I'm enjoying this. And then anytime you don't have it, you're like, well, this is terrible.
It feels like an actual chemical withdrawal because it must have been like a week or two ago, one of my videos on Instagram went kind of viral for the first time on there. And so I was getting all of these new followers, and I kind of got accustomed for like about a week there that I'd get on my phone in the morning and there would be like a certain amount of new followers. And it was a larger amount than I've experienced before. And then, you know, one day recently, you know, when that video stops trending because it just like stops and you're like, feels like somebody literally pulls your plug out of the socket of the wall. Like, you're like, but
yeah.
I got so
And then the next thing you post, all those new followers see, because that's what the algorithm does.
Yeah.
And if they don't like that, they unfollow you. Yeah. So it's like, Taylor and I were talking about this too. Like, I think the cruelest one of them is TikTok, and that TikTok will be like, hey, here's a video with 100,000 views and here's one with 200. And you're like, was it that much better? Was it that much? Why did this one do so, like the percentage differences on the video numbers can be staggering.
You know, staggering.
This one got 1,000 and that one got 1,000,000. There's no way that was 100 times better than the other one.
Exactly. Yeah. TikTok, the barometer for self-worth and success on TikTok is like, you better have some stability in other areas of your life, because if you are only measuring your self-worth on TikTok views, going to be a rocky life, because it's all over the map.
Yes, I 100%. And that's like, that's true of all of it, right, though? Because that's also true of stand-up, and that's also true of whatever your career is, because, the only song, this is so funny because I'm just repeating things I've said to Taylor so many times. The song from The Greatest Showman that applies is Never Enough. I got this set. Well, how many views did it get? Oh, I put out a special. Well, it didn't go on this place, or how many, you know, it's just, there's always, and there's a bunch of people behind you looking to what you're at, but you don't look at them like pride, you know, right? Comparison, it leads to pride or despair, right? So you either feel way too good about yourself or spiraling, which I think if we've caught a theme here amongst the four of us, it's spiraling.
Well, just name the title of this episode, Spiraling.
Yeah.
There's a line, I feel like I referenced the Desiderata a lot on the podcast, but I really do love that poem. And there's a line that says, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. And I feel like that's so true in terms of social media following, that there will always be people with more followers than you and people with less followers. And same within your videos. There will always be videos of yours that get more views than others. And it's just like that, I think, trying to embrace the fluidity of it and just knowing that it's like always in flux.
Right. Yeah. And not everything can be the biggest thing, but you want it to be like, oh, I made this thing. This will probably be the biggest thing I've ever done. I don't know. Yeah. I think part of the reason that we keep our kids off of social media is the same stuff that I'm trying to teach myself, which is like, this is a thing and it's an important piece of your job. But I think social media is fun, like a lot of it. And it's very funny and it can be very creative. But I would not participate actively at all if I didn't think it was for stand-up. All of these things exist to serve stand-up, which is joke writing, testing these things, building followers. So it really is. And we're just trying to talk to our kids a lot about like, this is a thing and it's a segment of life, but it's not real life. And you have to like live for what's outside of this. And that feels so, because of the notifications, because of the likes, because of the, it feels like it's the biggest thing. I remember like I lost a ton of followers in June over the Black Lives Matter stuff. Like, I was pretty outspoken about that. And I've toured with some pretty conservative acts. So I've accrued some pretty conservative followers, and I lost a bunch. And I would just argue with them all day. This was most of my June days. And I was just like, argue with people and try and convince them that they're racist. And, it was a good time. But I would get real stressed, and I was like, and then me and Melissa, would like leave the house or go on a run or whatever. And I was like expecting strangers to shout at me. You know, I was like, well, they probably saw that Instagram post too, right? Like, no, they didn't. Yeah. The world doesn't care about you like this. Like, yeah. It does. It feels like it's everything here. But as soon as you get outside of your house and your sphere and your little group of followers and the arguing online, it's not. It's just not any real segment of reality. So we're trying to kind of like instill that into our kids, because I don't know, what's the Conan said that, right? Like the old quote of like, every grave eventually goes forgotten. Like, yeah, eventually. Cool. Yeah, I know, it's a very dark one of just like
Jesus, Conan.
Yeah. Yeah, he took that Tonight Show thing pretty hard.
You okay?
Yeah. But it's true, right? So you can be like the biggest, most famous thing in the world, and maybe people will visit your grave a little longer than they did somebody else, but eventually, and that's kind of what we're trying. I don't use that quote at dinner. but this spirit of living in the moment and for the people right in front of you, and making genuine, heartfelt connections. It's the only way you can be happy, I think, is to have healthy relationships with the people actually in your life.
Yeah. And middle school and high school already feel like that. They already feel like this is the most important thing. It's never going to change.
Right.
This is everything. And if I'm not crushing it, and now we never think about it as adults. Yeah.
No, that's how
social media is. When you're on it, you're like, does everyone care? And then you get off and you're like, oh, that's not real.
Right. And you get caught up and your brain just tells you these lies of you're the one that feels left out and they're talking about you. And that goes into adulthood. Have you guys heard that story about the Beatles, right? The Beatles had like just broken up, and Paul goes to Ringo's house, and because like Ringo wasn't talking to the rest of the band, and Paul goes to Ringo's house to kind of get them back together. And Ringo says, like, I don't know, I've just always felt left out. Like, I always thought it was me and you three. And then Paul goes, I always thought it was me and you three. And then the other two guys, George and John, both said the same thing. They're like, I always thought I was the one left out. You're like, this is the Beatles.
Whoa.
And all of them thought they were the odd man out, as they were, you know, because it just plays on your insecurities. And you just tell yourself, and that's never more heightened, I think, that in middle school and high school, you know?
Mm, yeah, certainly.
Oh, yeah. God. I'm so glad I did not have social media. And like, I mean, my siblings are all much younger than me, and they don't know anything different but social media. And I get nervous for them. Like, that's just, you know, that's just going to be their default indefinitely. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to be raised with it.
Yeah. Plus, you know? It's just very annoying too. Like, having kids in your house doing TikTok dances, terribly annoying. Let's not look past that too.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Social media really ruins coming back from summer vacation. Do you guys remember how like awesome that was. Yeah. And you could come back and you're like, I'm hot now. I'm my crush in two months.
Yes.
What's everyone's deal? What's everyone's haircut look like?
Oh my
that's
God,
all that's... gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that was.
There was always like, there was always like some boy that like grew a foot and a half and was no longer chubby.
Yes.
And got his braces off, and you're like, well, I guess you're AASB president now. You just transformed from your seventh to eighth grade. You just got the equivalent of $100,000 worth of work done.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And now those kids have like an Instagram that's like before and after.
Yeah.
My progress this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always feel like the dudes who are on the show, The Bachelorette, are like, they all have the confidence of somebody who like peaked at winning seventh grade ASB
yes.
president. And that was it. And then it's just been like, oh, I guess everything's pretty fucking great around here.
Yeah.
And it's just these like dumb dummies. And I don't know.
And they like work at like Verizon.
Yes.
You know, because they weren't actually smart. So if they didn't have like a successful dad, then they're not particularly successful, but they still have all the confidence in the world. And it's wild. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous, frankly. We should wrap up. I did want to ask you quickly before we wrap up. You and your wife have been together for, did you say 19 years?
Yes. We got together on Christmas Day 19 years ago. So yeah, we've been together. This was our 19th Christmas. Oh,
I'm glad that you guys are high
been through a breakup.
Yeah.
Never been through a breakup one
time.
I mean,
and you're still this likable. It's, truly amazing.
I will say that Taylor going on stage, this happens one in four shows where Taylor just stops doing stand-up comedy and rants about how unhappy she is to have me as a friend. It's really great. He finds your soulmate at 60. It's never gotten a laugh, not even a chuckle. Everyone's like, I was like, she seems real mad right now. She's
for me.
But, I use the analogy, what I have in a relationship, Taylor has in her profession. And so we, it's just a trade. It's real good for you there. And I'm empty over here. And, you know, and so we balance each other as one complete person.
Yeah. Dustin goes, you're on Netflix. And I go, you're on Melissa. And then we go, okay, it's a draw.
Yeah.
So you guys were high school sweethearts.
Yes. Yes. We met when I was a junior and she was a senior at a different school, no less. So
wow.
Easily my biggest accomplishment.
Wow. And do you have any advice for people either in relationship, not in relationship, but like, what is your secret to making it last that long?
There's no thing.
Yeah.
There's no, like, who am I to give advice? This is the premise.
But that's the thing is it's not that common to still be with your partner when you met at 16.
Yes.
And be, you know, you are somebody to give advice.
I would say, I would say there's an amount of dumb luck to it. Find a compatible person that you fall for early and they seem to like you for some reason. And you are like, hey, this is still a good time. And there's like all those there's so many like dumb little cliches that like kind of work about like having a short memory and, you know, like don't bring up the past. That's kind of the same thing. But I don't even pay attention because like every like book and thing you read is like, it's not like no one can tell you how to be in a successful relationship because every relationship is so different and unique. Right. And I would say, you know, the things that I've only really been good at two things ever. And one is stand-up comedy, and that's debatable. And those are on and off nights. And the other is being married to Melissa. Like, I'm good at that. And I think it's in large part because I, like, embrace the uniqueness of it all. And, like, I find her endlessly interesting. And so the things about her that are quirky and unique and sometimes hard. Like I like lean into them. I like that we just like lean into the uniqueness of our relationship. Like we have this weird, like, for example, like I give her the best conversations when I'm playing a stupid game on my cell phone. Like if I'm playing like some dumb thing, like doesn't take any mental capacity and I'm just pressing buttons, like I start to unpack my childhood to her. Like, you know, like there are things like that, that people are like, that's stupid. I was like, yeah, no, it just kind of works with the ADD in me, and she works. Or, you know, just even stupid things like we hate the idea of sharing a blanket. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. And it works for us. And like 4 years into our relationship, we're like, I hate this and you hate this. Let's just, you know, so what I mean is like, just like asking the questions and like not trying to make your relationship look anything like that. Like people ask all the time, they're like, oh, like, how do you guys make it work with the travel? And I was like, I don't know. She thinks it's pretty rad to be married to a stand-up comedian. You know, like that's not a bad, you lean into the, whatever you think sometimes like makes your relationship like outside of the box or, you know, different. I think that's the stuff that like can be the denominator that sustains it long term, you know?
Yeah.
That's just guessing.
I love that.
That's really good advice. Again, not the person to go to if
you're going through
a breakup.
No, if you're currently fighting with someone, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Yeah. I have
got nothing for it. Dustin's the only person who has met all of, besides I think one of my sisters. Yeah. The only person who's met all of my boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
My dad hasn't even done that.
Wow.
Which is.
What an honor.
Yeah.
Well, I've said this too, like they know we're friends. And so they kind of have to be nice to me, which is delightful. It's really nice to have some new person show up liking all my stuff or texting me and like, you know, like, oh man, you want to go golfing sometime? And I'm like, I mean, if you're paying, sure. Yeah, it's fine. I just get new friends out of this.
Well, Dustin, can you plug your new special and plug where people can find you and listen to your podcast?
Sure. Yeah. Taylor can give you all the information on my podcast. She's
one of my ex-boyfriends helped name it.
That is true. Moving on. My special is called Overwhelmed. It's currently on Amazon. You can check it out there. And my podcast is called Don't Make Me Come Back There. It's, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there. So the special we filmed in September. So it's our friend Irene, too, said it's not a COVID theme special, but it's COVID aware.
That's good.
It's outdoors. It's there's like 20, 30 people in the audience. You can hear Taylor's laughed quite a few times. people wearing masks. It's you know, we tried to make a thing that was in the moment, but also you know, had some material that lived outside of the moment as well. It's so funny at the beginning when we made this, it's like this is gonna be like kind of dated just because it's outside. And I was like, I think there's going to be this like 2 or 3 years where that's like all you see is outside comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are so many clips going around and there's still so many specials to come out that people have made is film being outside. So what I'm saying is it's not as unique as I thought it would be.
it's very unique and it's very Dustin. And you know, I mean, Dustin, I don't think of as like, Dustin's a clean comedian because I think he and I both came up in that world and sort of bump up against that of like, but I'm just a good comedian. But it is a special that you can watch with like your family, you know, is very, very impressive. And there's not a lot out there like that where I would say to my parents, like, you guys should watch this comedy special. It's good and you would like it.
Yeah.
Right.
We like it's Pixar clean is what I always like to describe, is that like there's going to be some jokes that the parents really like and the kids didn't get. And and then it's also meaner than you would expect at times, which is true, which is true. Like, you know, like you'll be watching, you know, The Incredibles and then they'll tell Mr. Incredible how fat he's gotten. You're like, sheesh, that's a little heavy-handed there, you know. So it's that's the line that we're towing.
Right. Also, wow. The genre of comedy where you say "sheesh."
Sheesh. I mean, but that's a pretty funny word.
Sheesh. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, no, Taylor and I had a a hot debate for a 20-minute phone call about which title of a musical was funnier, Les Mis or Oklahoma. And this is the dumb world of stand-up comedy where we debate what word is funnier. Yeah, but I think sheesh might be funnier than all of us.
I like sheesh. And Dustin, what's your TikTok handle? Because you're one of my favorite people to follow on TikTok.
Oh, that's very nice. I think I'm just Dustin Nickerson Comedy there.
Okay, go follow Dustin on TikTok.
Yeah.
Fantastic stand-up clips. Just
that's very nice of you.
A great follow. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
You two are always popping up in my feed and making me feel bad about how many followers I have.
Taylor will do that to statistically most people on the planet.
Yeah. She's an exhausting friend to have. But still, 88% charming.
I'll take it.
We just named the new new special.
88% charming, Pixar clean.
Yeah. Or sheesh.
Sheesh.
Dustin, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
Bye.
All right.
That was great.
We did it. Thanks, guys.
That was so fun. Yeah,
the kids not being on social media is something we haven't talked about. I think that's great.
We could. Yeah. You want to just title this episode "Raising Kids Without Social Media" or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that cool? Hell yeah. And then I'll make them listen to it.
And hear us all going, "I think that's great."
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, "But you're like, it is fun though."
Yeah. It's true.
It is funny. And that's the thing. I'll curate TikToks for them. Be like, all right, come watch this one. You know?
Yeah. I'll get a little taste of it. That's basically what my fiance does for me.
Yeah. Hey,
you're not on any of this. So look at this one. It's a great dog drinking a Snapple. Like, ooh.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Have him send that one to me via Snapchat.
Exactly.
Well, that was a lovely conversation.
He is a wonderful man.
Yeah, as to be expected. Love Dustin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's the first person I've heard of, at least in my circle, of a parent who is not having their kids on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bold choice.
And I think that is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. I want him and Melissa to like finish raising me. I feel like there's some loose ends that need to be tied up.
Get those last few years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do we have some segments?
We do. Yes. But first, we have an iTunes review.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
This is from Josh S. Rance. It says, "The best. Oh my gosh, I'm so, so sad. I just finished listening to your social anxiety episode and I have officially finished binging all of your episodes. I found you ladies in July after watching Taylor's Netflix special, loved, and have been obsessed ever since. You all do such a great job of picking relevant topics that are so interesting and informative and make them so entertaining to listen to. Super sad I finished binging because now I can't listen to you ladies throughout my long days. Love you all so much, and I'm excited to start listening weekly." Oh, thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
Really, really, really nice review. Thanks for taking the time to do that.
Very kind.
If you want more episodes, we've got a whole catalog of episodes on Patreon, patreon.com/selfhelpless. If you cannot get enough binging, you can go.
Yeah, you can binge 60 episodes at least.
Yeah, at least 60.
Like that. Mm-hmm. So many. Oh, and then another announcement. We are doing video shout outs, Self-Helpless as a team. So if you're interested in booking one for a birthday or New Year's or anniversary or whatever it might be, you can go to selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com for more information.
Shoot us an email. We'll get back to you.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, now let's do some segments.
Sweet.
I
have a good shit. I mean, I have lots of good shits because we just kind of came off the holidays and stuff. But because we wanted to see Cam's family and stuff for the holidays, and his family's all over the place. We had you know, his sister is in Florida. His brother lives in India. His parents were in Illinois and Wisconsin. And so we did a virtual holiday party. And I booked one of my incredible clients, Regina, who is a bartender, and she teaches virtual cocktail classes. And so our holiday party was a virtual cocktail hour where Regina was like teaching us how to do, make a couple beautiful drinks. And it felt like a real party. It was so fun.
What a great idea.
It's amazing. Bartender. It's so good. Yeah. Virtual bartender. The drinks were amazing. It was really fun, but it was, you know, it's weird when you're doing virtual stuff now. And it was a nice way to make it feel like it was still like a special event. And so anyway, highly recommend booking her. You can find her on Instagram at Cocktails by Regina. It was a blast. So that was a very nice kind of way that we made it feel like it wasn't a bummer that we all couldn't be together. Yeah. It felt like kind of still fun and special.
That's nice. Such a great idea.
It was so fun. I love it. It's great. She does bachelorette parties and weddings and corporate events and all kinds of stuff. And it's just like so much fun. It was a blast. So highly recommend it.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Really cool idea. Well, to piggyback on Delaney's good shit from last week, I also went to the eye doctor, the old optometrist, and it had been 5 or 6 years since my last appointment. And wow, had my vision gotten so much worse. Delaney, we are now astigmatism buddies because I have astigmatism in my left eye, and my vision like more than doubled in being worse than the last time I went, which isn't like that uncommon to if you haven't been for like 5 or 6 years. But I just can't believe I've been walking around with these glasses that just kind of weren't doing anything anymore. And I got contacts for the first time. And man, what a game changer contacts are. Like, I just was holding off for so long because it is one more thing you have to do in your routine, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. But I just have the dailies. Is that what you have too, Taylor, the dailies?
Yeah.
So once you get more comfortable putting them in, it's like you put them in and then you take them out at night and that's it. I kept picturing the ones where people have the trays and they have to clean them and that whole thing. And I just was like, I just don't want to do all of that. And the dailies are so easy once you get comfortable putting them in. So yeah, I am wearing contacts right now. I can see. It's so nice. I can't believe it. I also have way more wrinkles than I realized. I just had not been living in a high def
mode. Beauty mode.
I have just been
had a filter on the last 5 years.
through partial blindness, I've just been thinking, wow, you know, my wrinkles aren't as bad for my age. And now I'm like, oh, no. You have all the wrinkles. You just couldn't see them before. So anyway, blessing and curse of better vision.
Yes.
I mean, you have no wrinkles, but we'll let you make that joke.
Nice.
I have a good shit. So Christmas Eve, I could not sleep. And I was up all night and, in you know, being in a place now where I don't have to work for 6 weeks, and then even then, who knows if I'll get to work in February. I'm like, okay, we are gonna start being the type of person we want to be. And you get all in your head and you're like, what have I always wanted to do that I haven't done? And I was looking online for keyboards so I could teach myself piano, and they're like sold out everywhere. Like you have to like order them online. Like I looked at like Best Buy and like Target and stuff. Cause I was like, oh, I'll just like go pick one up. And they're like, you can get it by January 8th. Is that, and it is like 2 weeks. And I was like, ugh, like by then I'll have like given up on myself. Like, you know, but I was like, I'll probably just do that. That's fine. But even then I was like, I don't know which one to buy. I don't know what I need. Cause like, you don't want to get something super expensive in case you like crap out on a new hobby.
Right. Right.
And I went for a walk with Irene the other day, and Irene's moving, and I went and outside her apartment was just a keyboard in the grass. And I was like, what is this?
Oh my God.
I also didn't want a heavy one. It's super light. It's like so much for a beginner. You can put batteries in it if you want. And it turned on. I was like, what is happening?
Whoa.
And she came out and I was like, I just found this. Can I have it? And it turns out her roommate had gotten rid of it. Irene didn't even realize. But her roommate had gotten rid of it. And her roommate was like, oh, I've just had it for years. And I just like keep taking it from place to place. And finally, she's like, I put it out here like 20 minutes ago. So like I knew it was going to be gone within like 20 minutes.
Weird.
And Irene and I had plans to go walk like later in the day. And she texted me and I was like, honestly, I'm very depressed. I will probably not want to go later. So let's just go right now, get it over with and like be outside and take a walk. And if I hadn't done that, that thing probably would have been gone. So I have a keyboard now.
So you manifested a keyboard, Taylor, is what
I manifested a keyboard.
A witch.
You're a keyboard witch. That's
yeah.
That's awesome.
I love stories like that. I fucking love cool. like the serendipity of that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? Very cool. Yes.
Now I have to learn to play it.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
I have to.
And also a couple quick TV show recommendations. If you have not watched The Undoing on HBO Max, set aside 6 hours of your life. It's only 6 episodes. One of the best shows I've ever watched. Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, you have to watch it. And Delaney got me hooked on A Teacher on Hulu.
Woo!
Oh yeah. My God. Watch it alone. Very I watched juicy. Some of the episodes with my mom. Don't watch it with a parent because it's like very steamy and sexy and like you don't want to watch it with a parent.
Yeah.
It's hot and fun.
It's wonderfully fucked up. It's very sad. And also you can't look away and
yeah.
exciting.
Wow.
God, it's I feel very confused by how much I like it.
Yes, exactly. It's about a teacher student
relationship.
If it
but
makes you feel
18, right?
Yes.
Still
not great. However, the actor who plays him is 25, so you feel
right.
a little less
I
like.
I had to Google that too. I'm like, ah,
I know.
I'm having feelings.
I know. I was like, the Googling needs to happen immediately because I need to get a better gauge
out of the way.
How old this person actually is. It's the guy from Love, Simon, which I never saw, but I know that that's what he's famous from.
Right.
He's really good.
Yeah.
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 Also, I watched all of Bridgerton in 2 days. And from what I've seen online, that's how most people are consuming it. I mean, Kelsey told me she didn't watch Gossip Girl or any Shonda Rhimes shows.
Yeah.
The show is literally Gossip Girl, but in the 1800s. That's literally what it is.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I mean, they must have pitched it that way. I don't know how they couldn't have.
Right.
And you start it and you're like, is this bad? And then it's episode 7.
And then it's too late.
I guess it doesn't matter because
it hooked you.
Yeah, but nice. You know, look. It's in the top 10 on Netflix for a reason, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people are watching it.
Yeah. Well, we hope that you guys are having a good 2021 so far. It's not quite 2021 when we're recording this, but we hope that when you're listening, you're having a good year so far.
We hope everything got magically fixed.
Yes, we do.
On the first of
the
year.
First ep of the new year?
Yes, first episode of 2021.
Oh, wonderful. Is there anything that you guys want to plug for this first episode of 2021?
Nope, I got nothing. No dreams, no goals.
I've got another virtual makeup workshop happening in the next couple weeks. So if you're interested, please DM me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy and I will put you on the list.
Beautiful. And I would say the change that I'm making in my coaching program for 2021 is that I will only have 16 spots available for the entire year. So we are interviewing for those spots now, if you would like to interview, and we'll go from there, DelaneyFisher.com. So if you are an overwhelmed entrepreneur looking to, you know, get your business together and simplify it, hit me up.
Yes. All right. Love you guys and hope you have a great day.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast. You can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, in your Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy, on Twitter at Kelsey Cook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Taylor Tomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1 hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my one-to-one consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.